And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
And we're back here on Declare Your Independence. We got Tim Pachote in, and I need to make sure, check that mic. We didn't even check it.
Test.
Oh,
test.
We got the right one. Okay, I came back, and I got to rewire stuff, and I'm like, I forgot. I didn't even check that. I hope that's the right one. All right. So we got you 5x5, whatever the hell that means. All right, so I want to make sure that we get everybody updated. It's been a month or so since you and I hung out and yakked it. And lots been going on. We've been communicating a little bit, but since I left, Bitcoin shot up. And all the guys, you're marketing, you're going, hey man, you crypto, you need you benefit when you get it when it's low, because when it goes up, I can help and save debt. They missed it by that much. Now some guys didn't. You know, they came in. I bet they're calling you now though.
Oh yeah, there's been more interest the past, I mean, particularly the past month than probably the past 2 years combined. But the strategy, once all the horses were out of the barn and Bitcoin crashed, I mean, it didn't really make sense for people to engage in this type of strategy. But now, I mean, the biggest thing that's the impediment to getting this done really is trying to open up an exchange account under the name of somebody's charitable trust or one of their trusts underneath that EIN, so that way they can take some of their Bitcoin and then sell it into other assets. That is really the bottleneck. So, you know, it's one of these things where if you're waiting for it to get to 15,000, don't wait for it to get to 15,000. There's one guy in particular who, about a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, he's like, hey, you know, I don't really want to be caught flat-footed again. So we set a meeting for like, it was probably a month ago. And meanwhile, initially when we first set the meeting, it was like Bitcoin's at 4,000. Now here we are at, you know, wherever it is right now, like 12
or 13.
We're still scrambling to get it all done. But so luckily, yeah, a lot of early adopters have been able to find me, and we've been able to show them ways where they can save tons and tons of money. And
well, if it's high now, and we do what you're talking about, you know, there's not really a disadvantage, is there? I mean, what's the disadvantage of me putting into the trust and doing all this stuff in your IRA?
It's better when it's high for the trust. It's worse for the IRA. So when the price is low, that's when the self-directed IRA strategy comes into play.
Here, go ahead and angle that up and pull it close to you and get
okay,
up there.
Yeah, because I'm hearing some of the pop. Okay, coming in. So when the price is low, that's when it's better for the self-directed IRA. When the price is high, I mean, you definitely want a high price when you're putting in to the trust, because the tax break is mainly predicated on the value of the asset you're putting in there. So obviously, if you're putting
I need you to get – see, I can turn it down, and you'll lose a lot of that if you get closer to the mic.
Okay, I'm like making out. I'm gonna be
no.
Like,
it's got to be aimed at you, so you got it going up. No.
Okay, like this.
Yeah. Have it right in your mouth, right there, right there. Would you lose all your skills?
I know. I've gone like a month. Well, the thing is, it's like angled down right now. So if I was like 5'4", maybe it would work for me right now. But
all right, there you go. That's better.
Okay, yeah, and actually, the past month, I have been just working away. I think the last video I put out was the day before Project Libra came out, and I've basically just been stuck in a 2-mile radius around my house. So you are the first person that I wanted to see, because it's been about a month. And I guess speaking of Libra,
I leave and you take a break. Will you be a slacktivist? What have you been doing?
Well, I've just been helping getting people IRAs set up, helping people getting their crypto trust strategies. Because these strategies, I mean, it's big planning. And so there's all sorts of different things you got to keep in mind. And I'm not just, you know, haphazard just throwing these together. So I've been spending a lot of time.
So a lot of them are customized.
100%. I mean, not necessarily so much on the IRA side of things, but on the trust side of things, this is like mega, mega planning, because everyone has different amounts of income, they have different amounts of crypto, they have different goals. There's certain ways how the tax code of what you're allowed to deduct each year, and the taxes are only able to be deducted for X amount of years. And so you have to balance a whole bunch of different things to make sure that you're basically getting the most bang for your buck. And I'm sure I could just throw some, you know, half-ass plan together and, you know, in an hour or two and call it a day, but that's not my deal, because this is, you know, life-changing money for everybody, and it's a big deal, and I want to make sure that I'm doing right by everybody, so that way I, you know, stay busy.
Yeah.
And but, you know, it's something where I didn't go and I didn't crowdfund a whole bunch of stuff, and I didn't have a token sale, so everything we're building right now is organic and you know, scaling, and so that's one of the problems, is that when everybody's comes in right at once, and you know, it's, you know, we've got, you know, limited bandwidth, so, you know, right.
Well,
now,
fortunately, you've had this plan for a while.
Yeah,
you've been working into it and getting in the early guys benefited, and they're all happy of yeehaw, and then you build on that and add more, and you know, because you're first in line on this, or damn, you know, few people, I don't know, sure as hell in the Liberty community is doing it for the right reasons with a philosophical understanding of here it comes, you know. So, and it's one thing I see this all the time, and you made this clear. I remember we were down at Narcopoco TDV, you did your first presentation a year and a half ago, and it was all of these guys, philanthropic, we donate all our money, and I've been seeing that all over. So-and-so donated all their billions to charity. Oh, another guy. So these guys are so good. They're just, that's all BS.
It is all BS, and it just, you know, as somebody that's like one of the very few people that understands this, it just drives me absolutely nuts, especially when I see it like on the Facebook feed and other things of like, oh, look at this, Warren Buffett donated all of his money, I'm going to name my first child Warren. Like, I have seen that, and like, oh, my, like, you guys have no idea, it's just being played.
Well, what is it? You know, real quick, give the, you know, 30-second what they're doing.
Well, what they're doing, you know, you put your money into a trust, you bypass the capital gains, then you get a tax break for putting your money in there, and then the money gets paid to you, and then the money that's paid to you is an offset by the tax break that you get, and then you can sell assets inside of there without triggering additional capital gains. And then what you do with all the tax breaks is you invest into some life insurance, you put that into a special type of trust that then bypasses your estate tax, and now what you've done is basically you've given it an after-tax, you're giving yourself more income than you would have after tax had you not done this planning, and you're giving your heirs more money after your death, because now everything flows outside of your estate tax, and now you've got a foundation that then does your bidding in perpetuity. And unfortunately, most of the foundation, or you know, a lot of like the globalist type foundations, the bidding is not necessarily in our favor. It's, you know,
Cecil B. DeRhodes' will of we rule the planet forever and bring the everything back under the United Kingdom umbrella of they rule me.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, we're pretty much still underneath the rule of the British. So, you know, if you take a look at the Federal Reserve, and I guess
the thing is that, you know, this now that we have crypto-rich individuals of the freedom-oriented that they can suck it, we can do the same thing for freedom, and you go to temperature.
Yep, that's the 30-second pitch on that. But no, and it's crazy how much stuff has really gone on since the last time that we've talked. I mean, we've had, the Libra coin has been announced, which, you know, to me, the last video I did was I was comparing it to the special drawing right. And for, I mean, a lot of listeners probably know what the special drawing right is, but what that is the IMF, it's how the central bank of all the central banks, basically keep unit of accounts for each other's. It's fiat crap. Yeah, it's fiat crap mixed together with a bunch of other fiat crap. And what I think the Libra is going to be, it's going to be very similar, where maybe 50% of it's the dollar, maybe 20% of it's the euro, 10% of it's the yen. I mean, I'm just making up these numbers right now.
That is special drawing rights.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... All right. I wrote... God, I should go reread or redo or update the article I wrote. It was July of 08, right before things went to crap, and it was called The Greatest Depression, Why We're All Screwed, or something like that. And it was an understanding of a lot. I finally got an understanding of a lot of it. I'm going, oh, I understand enough. I can see what they're doing, you know. So the special drawing rights is the International Monetary Fund wants to have some way if we have a unit of measure compared to a basket of currencies of everything's fiat, and we control all the fiat and one whatever. So special drawing rights is going to be the unit of measure. It's going to be the Bitcoin or the whatever. We're going to talk about it more. We'll be right back.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
So much to talk about. I've got to do this Libra thing because I can see where this is going, and it is going to be the digital world currency. You know, this is what they're going for. They, them, those. You know, that they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. The here we go. It's called the is it Libra Initiative, the Libra, you know, consortium, the Libra, you know, buddies of whatever the hell. But we have also Goldman Sachs ramps up development of new secret crypto project. So what's that? Is that like, you know, Litecoin to Libra? I mean, you know, is it going to be competition? Is it going to be an exchange? But they're going to have to be some base of data. And already we got Russia and China, and they go, no, you're not allowed. No, no, we're not going to do it. And then, you know, cryptographically, do we know, is there a limit? Is it going to be inflationary? Is it, how is it mined? Who's going to participate? Who's going to be, who's going to be, who's going to be? Now, I had Jimmy Song on, one of the main Bitcoin developers, and I think when Tone Vase is always good, so Tone, you know, hooked him up for us, but he goes, yeah, the smartest guys in Bitcoin, they're a smart guy, and they're going to ruin the smart guys. Well, I think Jimmy Song's who he's talking about. He comes on, and I go, man, I've been screwed by smart guys since forever. I don't know what the hell does that mean, you know? And he, after an hour of the show, he had not, and I had other guests, so I couldn't extend it, but he was, man, he didn't think he convinced me enough. He wanted more time. So he's going to come on at the end of the month. In the evening, I do James Corbett in the evenings now because, you know, him and Max Egan. Max Egan came on during the day today, but he's up at midnight kind of thing. So usually in the late afternoon I'll do, but I'm tired by then too. But so I appreciate it's better midnight. But so we do it in the afternoon. Have James Corbett for an hour do the 6 to 7 and 7 to 9 for 2 hours. Jimmy Song and Ernie, no commercial interruptions. It's going to be fun. And I'm like, man, I've been trying to get you on for a long time. Now you can't get on enough. until they say, don't go on Ernie's anymore, okay? There's going to be, because what happened? I'm going, you know, the privacy thing is just done. It was a Bitcoin thing. They had like a panel of 5-6 people up at Pork Fest, and they're going on about private company Facebook is doing Libra. Yeah, you know, it's great that these private companies doing crypto private companies. Who in the hell thinks Facebook is a private company? Who in the hell thinks this is not like a main matrix plug into the freaking the man? Who are we BSing? Well, what happens? James Corbett does the Secret of Silicon Valley. Did you watch that?
I have not.
You got to watch that. It is like Silicon Valley, the man, okay? Who are we BSing? So when they did that, I got up and privacy is not even an issue anymore. So when I brought this up, you know, what's the great thing? What did Jimmy Song say? What was the first thing out of his mouth?
Inflation.
That's it. He's going, yeah, we just need to have where, you know, we have something that they can't inflate. Until they inflate.
It's like, come on, man, you can't BS a BSer. I wrote a book on this called How It's Rigged. So, yeah, I know about hedonic adjustments and what he was talking about. Hey, you know, you buy a pair of jeans and it's, you know, $18 one day and it's, you know, $28 the next year. But, you know, according to inflation, that, you know, it wasn't really the gain that they said it was because now the jeans are better quality. And so that's a crap that they pull. But, yeah, you don't have – you and I already know – everyone already listening to this already knows all that. But – just a way to sidestep the question, because the big thing is, yeah, privacy. It was so Bitcoin was sold to this community as being anonymous.
Not. It's pseudo-anonymous, which means not.
Yeah, but then he's like, oh, yeah, you can just have, you know, $50, $60 transactions, and I'm fine with that. And, you know, I didn't see any of that in the original Bitcoin white paper. No.
He was all about, the transaction fees.
Yeah.
He's like $50, $60. Yeah, no, that's not a problem. It's all about the inflationary. That's the main thing. All the other stuff that was promised down the road. And I'm going, why are you guys so adamant about going after these alternative current coins? What do you care? I'm why are you so focused on them? Well, they say kind of do not what we want, and their competition is a sin.
I mean, the average person doesn't even have $1,000 in their bank account, let alone $1,000 of crypto. And so if you have $1,000 of Bitcoin and you want to give it to somebody else and you have to pay $60, then you just lost 6% of your money, which is the same 6% that he was bitching about how much they inflate things. So now you've just created a way for miners to make money.
I'm looking forward. I mean, how much study do I got to do? I mean, I'm just going to ask simple questions, and he's going to have to answer. I mean, I don't know if he's had this kind of pushback. I would imagine he has, you know, but he thought he could convince me. He's like, I'm not done. You know, I'm going to convince you. We're going to have him. All right. If you think you can do it, bring it on.
Well,
you know?
Speaking of convincing, on the 15th, I saw on Peter Schiff's Facebook feed, he wrote that he's going to have basically like a live session with people where they can come on. I think it's on his YouTube channel where it's going to be a one night only convince Peter Schiff to, you know, basically be pro Bitcoin. So Peter is hosting something on his YouTube channel. So maybe in 1 week we can convince Jimmy Song and Peter Schiff. Who knows? not holding my breath.
Well, okay. So now we got this Goldman Sachs new secret crypto project. You know anything about it?
I got my news straight from you. So this is my first time hearing about it.
It's GoldmanSucks.gov coin. Okay. Do I need to go any further?
Next.
Next. So, here it goes. Okay, now explain to me how Libra, is it Libra, L-I-B-R-E? Is that how they do it?
I think it's Libra with an A.
L-I-B-R-A.
Yeah, I believe. But either way, Mike, you think of like Libra or Libre, like you think of like freedom, like Libra, like I don't know. But then it's like, you know, it's Orwell, doublespeak is the exact opposite of what it's named. But taking a look at some of the companies that are involved with this, to be nodes, and right now to be a node, it's not like anyone, you know, like in Bitcoin, who can just become a node. You've got to ante up $10 million, and there's going to be 100 nodes, and of those, it's MasterCard, PayPal, PayU, Stripe, Visa, Booking Holdings, eBay, Calibra, which is going to be their wallet, Lyft, Spotify, Uber, Vodafone, Coinbase, Zappo. We've got some private equity firms in there. Thrive Capital, and then, yeah, so it's a lot of, you know, they, them, those who are in there. But what my speculation is that what they really want is the data, and they're going to be able to then say, okay, we know that this account belongs to Bob Smith, and Bob Smith, this is the things that he buys, and it's just through the AI, just imagine the tracking power of being able to pinpoint every purchase. I mean, even already, if you have, you know, your, you know, like an Amazon hooked up to Google, Google's through your Gmail is already tracking all of your purchases, and this is just going to be Big Brother on steroids. And and it was also, I think, announced yesterday that the Winklevi, who were the for the listeners who don't know, they were the ones who, you know, created Facebook at Harvard, and then Mark Zuckerberg stole their idea. But they also got in early on Bitcoin. I think it's rumored they own about 1% of the Bitcoin outstanding. And apparently they want in on this Libra association, and now they're going to have a truce with Zuckerberg. It just really makes you wonder, you know, was this whole thing planned from the get-go? Is Zuckerberg just some sort of front for something else? But Libra is going to be this gigantic data mining operation where they're going to have your data of knowing everything you buy, sell, and they're going to be able to get the transaction fees. And but you know, there is mix. I think it is going to bring a lot of people
to
crypto.
Yeah, Facebook has wanted your banking information for years. They're like, no, sign up. Why? Cause, just do it. Okay. They link your bank account to Facebook. Here we go.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Okay, let me give you a looky-see here. This is interesting. I put in Libra and Facebook on Freedom's Phoenix and a lot of the coverage that we've done. I'm just going to, you know, just in the last, I don't know, I mean, this hadn't been long ago. I mean, it's...
A month.
Yeah.
Not
even a month. Libra, Facebook's crypto Trojan rabbit, whatever that heck that means. Cryptocurrencies are winning. If you need proof, look no further than Facebook's proposed Libra stablecoin. Stablecoin. With the release of its white paper, blah, 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 blah. Then next one, it's Facebook's Libra, the dollar killer app. Oh, most likely no, but the creation of Libra will take a step in the right direction. That's kind of been the thing. Well, it's in the right direction. It's kind of, you know, it's just going to take Bitcoin. All it's going to do is just surveil everything and marry it to your Facebook account and your kind of an ID. And you come into America and do your Visa. We need your social media account. You know, that has your banking, you know, and all your purchases and your social credit score of China.
After we download everything on your laptop and phone.
Right.
Which Libra. That happened to Ian Freeman, didn't when coming into the country, he got detained?
No, I mean, it's happened to enough people if I'm just like, yeah, whatever. They don't have it already.
Shocking.
Libra, a crypto Trojan horse, is the central bank of Facebook designed to control you even more. Dan Dix did that one, of course. Facebook's crypto Libra won't be legalized in Russia, says the state press. Russia will not legalize the use of Libra cryptocurrency, which Facebook plans to introduce into circulation in 2020. This opinion was expressed by the chairman of the State Duma Committee on the Financial Market, Anatoly Aksakov, in an interview with the radio station. Blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. How are you going to stop it? You know, and it's trading, or they use other cryptos or whatever. Libra Credit is a decentralized lending ecosystem. Now, this is from May of last year. Now, this was a Libra Credit is a decentralized lending ecosystem that facilitates open access to credit anywhere, anytime, based on the Ethereum blockchain. Libra was founded by former PayPal technician, technical and financial experts. Libra Credit is a leader in the lending industry, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, didn't you say one of the guys from PayPal, these guys went over to Facebook?
That's what I was trying to look up right now, but I do believe I did hear that one of the PayPal guys did go over to Facebook to head up their project.
Yeah, so it wouldn't surprise me. Okay, Libra unveils IRS compliant cost-saving Bitcoin tax service. That's the meme. Libra launches enterprise tax solution, partners with BitPay. This is all going compliance. This is exactly what I was talking to Jimmy Song about. And I'm going, it's like, man, you guys are sprinting to compliance. You're just, you know, the GoldmanSucks.gov coin is right. And then what happens? The next day after I had that interview, boom, Goldman Sachs got their own crypto. Yeah, just if you know the destination, you see the journey. You know, David Icke's thing you and I went to, you know, we were at Anarchapoco's 4 hours. I thought he was kidding, you know. So we popped a 5 hours, and, you know, said, all right. But it went probably pretty fast.
You know what that reminds me of? We took that one bathroom break, and we ran into that guy who used to work for Craig Wright. Did you ever get him on the show? The that guy that used to work for Craig Wright, who was... And then he was, or like Enchain, or he worked for, or CoinGeek, or one of those places.
I don't remember. I take all that stuff. I could go back. And what I do is I take a picture of their business card, and I send it to Donna, and then she sends the invite.
Well, that'll be easy to find. We just look up the day that David spoke and go back to your phone. And I remember we spoke to that kid.
We'll do that, you know, after the show. We'll go get some. See, that's right. And we meet a lot of people, a lot of stuff. Not everybody comes on. I'm surprised at how many people do. And the ones that don't, you know why. You know, they're maybe not. Yeah, it's no Bitcoin. Facebook's Libra currency is tied to government currencies. But his concern for money and market reached back to his earlier work, as noted in a number of articles posted in recent years at Mises.org, as noted by Nikolai Gershev, whatever. Libra could compete with traditional central bank currencies. In a series of 5 lectures delivered in 1937 and published under the Monetary Nationalism and International Stability, Hayek offers an in-depth analysis of the main deficiencies of the present-day monetary system. In a nutshell, he identifies 2 factors that disrupt international economic relations: the fractional reserve commercial banks and the national central banks. The former are the primary source for the international transmission of the business cycles, while the attempts of the latter to correct the imbalances de facto amplify the resulting instability, blah, blah, blah. So what they're talking about is, but if we just had a digital Facebook, we could solve all kinds of problems, just like Hayek said.
Well, I'm wondering if it's going to be one-to-one or not, or if it is going to be fractional reserve. So maybe the banks don't like it because they're like, hey, these guys, they could be the ones
scamming. They cut us out.
Yeah, like they're holding everything one-to-one. That's not fair.
This is what Patrick Byrne told me. He said, you know, they got the memo January of 16th. He's going, yep, they all want to be my buddy. Goldman Sachs, you know, said we be wanting to meet with you in Paris. What we got to do to get you, how many foot massages we got to have? Get your ass there, sit down, and they ask. He goes, point blank, he said, they asked me, you know. You know, what's our role in this future, whatever? Because they sent a team of half a dozen technical guys for 5-6 months to go research and go over all this stuff. And then by then, he had finished his lawsuit against all these guys. And, he did T-Zero and, you know, whatever. So he was outing them for all their stock market BS and naked short selling and all this crap that was going on. He was exposing. And he, with the lawsuit that he spent $31, $32 million to win back, you know, like $1 million more, you know, extra. Like, woo. But so they at least covered his stuff, but he got discovery. And he's going, oh, I know exactly how they're doing it. He's a smart Stanford guy. The boy who was schooled, his mentor was Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett was like his godfather or something, because his dad was one of his main guys at Hathaway. So Berkshire Hathaway. So he's was a smart genius level anyway, and he got through. I mean, he understood exactly what was going on. He goes, all right, you guys want to play? Let's play.
He's like, I know how many shares I have. I know how many shares are outstanding. I know mathematically there's no amount of way there could be that much float to have that amount of short justified. And so I know you guys are lying, and we'll spend the money to prove it.
And he did. So now all of a sudden, so the SEC, it's all a game. And I'm, you know, we've had these discussions. You know, you go Patrick Byrne, Ernest Hancock pull it up for since like 09, 10, 11. I mean, it was a long time ago.
And he even dropped the T-Zero on your show, when the same show that Colin Cantrell was on, which was an amazing show that I recommend people go back to. I think it was from July of like 2 years ago. So go back to type. Yeah, I mean, that's a great
Patrick's
show.
Patrick's dropped a lot of stuff on the show. He's been really good about that.
That was probably the last time he was on the show, so it's been about 2 years. It was this. It's weird I've got a memory like that. It was July of 2 years ago.
He's a busy guy. I don't know that. Donna, I think she's kind of pinged him every now and then. We communicate a little bit, but, you know, and I see him at, you know, all these different functions and everything, but.
He still owes me an interview, because I remember we were going to do one up at Nexus, and I think I got bumped off because he was about to do an interview with Jesse Ventura for RT instead. I'm like, okay, I can see it. Right. That's more important.
Well, we'll get him back on. We'll make that. When I got something that I need him for, you know, the kind of, and this Libra thing, I think he might want to talk about that one. You know, so we'll see what's happening. Let me finish up these. Bang for your Zuck. The currency is known as Libra, which the social network says it has no special role in governing and will manage equally with a group of big companies. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling all better about that. Banks will soon be obsolete. Now, this is on Lou Rockwell. Mark Nessman wrote this, a guy that lives here in Phoenix. He's a relocation expat, moved to somewhere, and I can help you move your money guy. Last week, social networking giant Facebook announced that it plans to create what it calls an alternative financial system based on a cryptocurrency called the Libra. The crypto will be backed by a basket of currencies to keep its value stable. A basket of crap is going, this is to laugh. So, I mean, come on. Bitcoin 20,000 soon. Libra coin breaking major laws. GitHub analysis. We don't like it. You know, for what? Who cares? You know, so you can see, you know, Facebook's Libra cryptocurrency betrays the company's true ambition. So imagine there's this place. You can hang out there all the time. Your friends and family are there. It's got neighborhoods, both big and small. There are businesses there. You get most of your mail there in the form of digital messages. It's not perfect. Sometimes there's crime or that one neighbor who keeps pushing the conspiracy theories about vaccines or politics. You feel like the security teams are getting a little better at handling those kinds of disruptions. And after all, every place has potholes, right? Or maybe you're just getting used to it. But lately, it seems like if people step too far out of line, they just get sort of disappear, and you add money to that, and you're controlling.
What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? I am, here we go. Man, you guys, you're calling Tim, the Liberty Advisor. Get on it.
And of course there's potholes everywhere. The government builds the roads.
Right. I am just so wow. Do we know where this goes?
Well, I think that this is sort of like when you had the creation of the Federal Reserve. You had J.P. Morgan, who owned about 95% of all the papers at the time, and they put out all the propaganda saying this would be the worst thing to ever happen to the big banks. And we see articles of this is going to make banks obsolete. Well, it's going to be the banks who are going to be behind this, and the banks are going to be the ones who own Facebook along with the government.
Yeah, to think that they're, you know, doing anything other than just reconstituting themselves into the new technical of be able to compete with decentralized none your business stuff. And he goes, and this is one thing Jimmy Song, how do you think of what I'm going, you know, how deep do I gotta go? Henry DeCastries, chairman of Bilderberger multiple years, behind money going into Blockstream of core development of whatever. I mean, how much you want me to scratch that scab, boy?
I was the one that told you that on an email that was also two-tone vase. And then look how far that has spread now. Like I was one of the first people to that. Because the first company I ever interviewed was AXA. And, yeah, like, it's so crazy how all that, you know, just comes together full circle.
You know what I get from Tone? This is what he says. He always tells me. He goes, well, it doesn't matter. That guy, he resigned. He's not that anymore or something.
Not anymore. Something. Well,
last year.
Yeah, he is again.
He did Bilderberger this last year. Don't tell me he's not. So how do I argue with these guys? I mean, I don't argue. You know, I'm just stating, you know, is this or is this not true? Okay, let the audience determine whatever. And you're just going to say, I go, is that what we're going to get? I go, did it or did it not occur? Yeah, well, okay, we're done. Let's go to the next one.
Well, the difference between Tone and Jimmy Song is that when you really pin Tone down in something, he can defer to
what well, he goes, I trust Jimmy Song because he's a smart guy.
So now that you got Jimmy Song on, Jimmy can't.
Yeah, who's your smart guy?
So he can't defer to somebody else. So
I like Jimmy. We had a good time. I enjoy. I don't want to beat up on him too much, but.
He's a smart guy, and obviously he knows his stuff, but, you know, you've got a certain line, you got a toe, and
he has an opinion, and his opinion, or the one that he's advocating, is that the steady inflationary aspect of Bitcoin at 21 million is what's going to give it its value, and I go, yeah, and what's going to happen, we need to make more. There's no reason to make more. I mean, it goes down to, you know, each Bitcoin is fractionalized down to 100 million times. I'm like, seriously? Come on. You know? So that argument is that it's just going to be how they make it. They want it. Not a problem. You want non-inflation? You want it to go to the moon? We want it to. So you'll use it. So we know what you're doing. So we can turn you off. So we can. And that is going to be compliance. The privacy thing is not even an issue anymore.
You should get somebody on sometime to talk about like different ways to be private with Bitcoin, like doing like different cash shuffle things and how you can do all the other
paper.
Nonsense
goes on the paper wallet. Somebody else scans it in, or they can see what's on it and they just take it like a $20 bill. I mean, that's, like, you know, bear, that's how,
like,
I use
like
it.
A bearer bond or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bearer bond. If I got a bear the freaking private key, it's a bearer bond. That's awesome. You know, but bearer bonds, I used to think that that was, you know, it's like a Swiss bank account. They'll never crack that. You know, I'm just, oh, this is, you're killing me. I'm just so much BS out there. This has been, the future is bright if we just see what they're trying to do. I just want to know where the destination is.
Well, my greatest fear with this Libra coin is it's both good and bad. Are we still off from break right now? Are we back?
Yeah, no, I got to get ready. Coming back here. All right, we'll come back. Here we go.
The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, you should be listening to the stream. We're yakking it, and you know, we just saved the planet, and you weren't there, you know, for it. So I don't know. What were you talking
D-Live
about?
So I got to go to DLive. What is it? DLive.tv/Ernest Hancock.
Well, it's on DLive, DTube, Twitch, Facebook and YouTube. I don't know. Last I checked,
when they let you.
Yeah, when they let me. They probably already canceled that. I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, but no, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit more about Libra, because I think there's going to be, you know, definitely some good and some bad with it. The good meaning, all of a sudden now you're going to have potentially 2 billion more people who are going to be exposed to crypto. Maybe that's their very first, you know, and I really see this being a double-edged sword, because if you are able
it's
to
going
convert,
to track them by device. They're going to see, because it's all about device now. You know, it's not just you got a password or something. And I can see it over the last month when I've been traveling. You know, it was, oh, I'm sorry, you can't send that email. It's not recognized as the device linked to the IP, linked to the place that you got to go through and authorize and kind of. And then I, you know, a couple days later, I'm somewhere else. I'll do it again. So a couple days later, because I've been to Norfolk, Lancaster, North Carolina, Blaine, Washington,
Borkfest.
And well, that's Lancaster, you know. Okay. So, you know, and then New Hampshire, and then North Central Washington. And when I do, every time I move, it's like, hey, you moved. We want to make sure it's you. We need a pinky swear bio kind of password of we reset Authy, you know, Google Authenticator. Oh, it's got to do Google Authenticator and Authy and so on. That'll free you. You know, that'll make you all secret and private and two-factor authenticator. Kind of. I'm like, God, you guys are killing me. I just want to strike it. No, Ernie, you don't understand.
Well, at least Ledger.
You don't understand.
At least Ledger isn't the Google Chrome app anymore. They've got a new one now. So at least with that, they've got.
I know. We set up Ledger. That was the first thing you had to do. You had to do Google Chrome, and you went into. I'm going, seriously?
And that was like right like the day like I first hit like $25 transaction fees, too.
I've been around enough to see these cycles. It's been the same thing. It's just, you know, different versions of the same thing.
By the way, stop by my booth at Anarcho Vegas. I'm gonna have. I think Ernie's got a booth as well, and I'm gonna be giving away one of the new ledgers for people stopping by.
Yeah, I haven't even because they wanted me to do a show from there, so I mean, I could probably do a live podcast into the yada yada yada. But I don't broadcast on Sunday, man. I guess Sunday.
I'm gonna take my GoPro, and I'll have like the.
I think I'll do recorded interviews. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, or I'll help you. You know, we'll share. We'll do something. We'll work together.
We can co-brand some stuff. And
well, this is Tim and I are going to go to Freedom Fest. You know, we kind of decided that, and we got help. Free Talk Live been cool. They, you know, working with us, and we'll.
I decided to wait till the day after my anniversary to break that to my wife. Like, oh yeah, by the way, you're going to be with the kids for an extra 3 days. She goes, oh, what that means that what you're not going to go stay for the other one. I'm like, no, I'm definitely staying for the other one, but now I'm just going to go earlier. So
I didn't go.
Well, you know, I'm like, you know, I didn't go to Pork Fest, so, you know, if that's, you know, any consolation.
You know, one thing that, you know, she, your wife, family, and in-laws, they've been
around,
on
yeah.
your ass about you making this switch and going over, and now Bitcoin shoots up, the clients are pouring in, you got way bigger you're going to be because you chose wisely. You think the in-laws, everybody getting off your ass now?
I mean, I think by the end of the year that they'll probably be off of me. Because, you know, what they're thinking of the old mindset of, you know, it's one thing if, you know, you're in debt because you went to college or, you know, you're got some slave job making $50,000 a year, but what they don't understand is, like, because right now, like, my business net worth is pretty good, but, like, my liquidity, like, everything is either going to building back the business or paying down some debt. And what they'd rather see is, like, a big fat, you know, stack of dollars sitting in a bank account, and that's, like, their definition of success. Whereas, like, well, you know, I guarantee my net worth's probably a whole hell of a lot higher than, like, your son, who you put through all private. I mean, my wife went to the same school that they're talking about having, like, Princess Kate and freaking Harry's kids, or not, I guess not Harry, but like the new kid that was just born. I'm glad that I don't even
Archie.
Know that. Good. Yeah, see, I'm embarrassed that you know that.
I know.
See, I didn't
I'm
know it.
I'm embarrassed that I do too.
You're probably thinking, like, do I actually know?
Should I say
it?
Should I say it?
Yeah, so the new kid, like the school that they're talking about him going to, because he's technically going to be like an technically part American with it because of his mom, was the same school that my wife went to in England, like living down the street of Elton John. So they're thinking, like, okay, well, you know, so the amount of money that they poured into their kids versus, I'm like, okay, I'm sure. And by the end of the year, let's take a look at what my net worth is going to be versus and what was spent on me being.
See, it sucks that that's the standard.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I mean, it's been a lot. Well, Ernie, if you took half, I hear this a lot. If you took half your effort that you put in all this freedom kind of chilled stuff and awareness of uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies, you'd be a wealthy guy. I am a wealthy guy. I got good friends. I know what's up. I'm looking at the future. I'm trying to build, you know, an awareness and so on to fertilize the ground for the growth of my grandkids. That was always the goal. I want to die on my deathbed without regret that I did, and they're riding the wave up, you know, going into more freer technical, logical solution of pirate ship of, you know, not the man, and I'm decentralizing, and the only possibility of that happening is doing what we're doing. And if I had a stack of money and I'm dead, you can't take it with you, and that would suck. And I'm just not doing it. So I'm really glad that we got support from enough people that we can keep doing what we're doing, because we're on the right path. I mean, we met you. We introduced you to everybody and kind of what, and got you going down the path of whatever, and a solution be a happening, and you're still in your 30s.
Early 30s, yeah. So.
Went early? How early?
33. And a half as of 2 days ago.
Okay, then you're an old man now, man. You're closer to 35 than 30, so you can start getting gray.
I mean, Jesus didn't make it this long, so I guess who knows.
Woo-hoo! Looks like you made it.
I don't know. Maybe he's done the same age as him, so maybe I shouldn't say that yet.
Yeah. So, hey, yeah, cross for you.
Yeah, both going after the bankers. But where I see
that's good. Me and Jesus against the bankers. Oh, that's good. What crypto would Jesus use?
Probably not Libra.
No. So this is what we're doing is, and we'll go long. You know, you guys stay with the couple minutes. We'll hit the end, and then we won't have a commercial break anymore. And we just, you know, stream of thought for the next hour. We go hours. We hadn't been around, but we got a lot of stuff to do today. And I got grandkids and nephew here. And so, my nephew from New York, my sister-in-law, she's like, nope. Nope. Guns? Nope. 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 So last time we were back in Norfolk for Donna's other brother's wedding, all family's there and so on. And she's like, yeah, I used to push back on you. I'm not pushing back so much anymore. On what? I don't know. Everything.
Everything?
You know, she's kind of starting to get, all of a sudden, the only person making sense is that freaking crazy black sheep of the family, Ernie, you know? So she kind of lightened up a little bit.
I mean, easier to make a list of, like, what not, you know, than
well, she's a big, she works for the Food Network. You know, she's like their head web presence editor. Of
Was her husband the Moody's guy?
Yeah. You know, he's the Moody's guy, so. Interesting. And then she was editor at Newsweek and the New Republic before that. So she was liberal as hell, you know. So this is, you know, so she just, nope, not guns. I'd rather, you know, be, you know, molested than have to worry about having a gun, whatever. She's one of them. But now it's starting to change. And I'm
which
going,
is so weird, because it's like you've got the left who, you know, hates the police, which, you know, I'm not, obviously, if anyone checks out my Facebook feed, especially from yesterday, my wife wasn't happy about some of the police stuff I posted yesterday. But anyway, but for what comes to, you know, the left hates the police, but yet the only people they want to have guns is the police. They think the president's, you know, basically a Nazi, but yet the only people they want to have the guns are the Nazis. And so it's just absolutely crazy when you dig through, like, all the hypocrisies.
Yeah, and this comes out. I mean, they're starting to, like, yeah, this just doesn't make sense. They have their cognitive dissonance. You just ask them some questions. You can't hold both these ideas. They're not compatible with each other. You got to pick one. You know, freedom's the answer. What's the question? That sliver right there. Well, if I have, okay, I get, they just start coming around to the point that I have three nephews from them. The middle one is one graduating high school this next year. So he's like 17 or something. He's 15. And they have like, I think the other one's like 11 or something like that. And so the 15-year-old's here. Well, he's hanging with all the grandkids. There's like 7, 8 of them out there. They're doing their swimming all day, going different things, going top golf this afternoon. And yesterday I said, all right. And I talked to their parents. They kind of knew. So
is that new one open, the new Top Golf? Is that open yet?
There's one over here in the West Valley.
Okay.
But what I did is I put all their, you know, I put like an AR out and a couple of handguns and so on, and you know how it works. How you see the movies and you don't know a lot of that crap in the movie. Let me tell you how it really works, and they're unloaded and everything. So we go through, and my two older grandkids are there too. They already know this stuff. Yeah, they're at 7. So I go, all right, this is how you do this, how you load this. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da. Want to go shooting? Woo, yeah, baby. That's it. So I asked their parents. I go, look, I can take them, you know, this week. You know, with your permission, I'll take them up. And we go to the Arizona State fishing game, you know, Ben Avery controlled, state run, super safe and government run with government camera of government. You know, can I take him there?
And it's off exit 223 if you take a look at it next
really?
Time. Yep.
And they go, yes. So he was surprised. I wasn't so surprised.
Is spreading the message of
okay, now we can yak it. So, yeah, we get the, you know, so it's for them to allow their 15-year-old grandson across the country with their uncle to go shooting, you know, kind of surprised him. I wasn't as surprised because I've been talking to him for a long time. I just kind of, you know, it's a kind of a rite of passage. It's, you know, he's going to be a man or not. I mean, you know, and these are certain skills that, so if he had that skill, you know, his brother, because what he's doing with his camera, he's taking pictures of all the stuff on the table and disassembled and all this kind of stuff. And the first one he did was the pellet gun. I got a Daisy 880 pump, you know, whatever the scope on it. And then a little, looks like a 9mm handgun for, you know, plinking the hawks for, you know, leave my chickens alone. And so they're sitting there. He takes a picture. Like, ooh, got a BB gun. Then the next picture is like an AR. They're like, I want some. So, He's screwed for the rest of his life.
And he comes back and he's expelled.
Yeah, don't put it on Facebook.
I mean, I went through all this indoctrination growing up in, I mean, upstate New York, so obviously not as bad as the city, but then went to probably the biggest liberal arts school in the state of New York when I went to Geneseo. So it's like, I know all the propaganda. Like, you can't tell me that I don't know your side. You don't know my side. I know your side, how to dissect it, how to go through it, can see all the BS. And so, you know, you got someone like me that somehow is able to escape all this tyranny in upstate New York, and I'm not... Believe it, definitely not a popular guy with the people I went to school with.
Yeah, this is stuff. I mean, even they'll get nervous that I, you know, if they hear the show, that I even mention, you know, that they, you know, Moody's and where she worked. Yeah, she's like sensitive because her whole career is based on social media. And when I was back there during the Lovelution, when we were working with them, I go there. And talking to her about rankings and traffic and all this kind of stuff and what to do and how they do it, and you know, and I got the impression she knew. You know, if you have, you know, you put up a neo-Nazi biscuit recipe or something, boom, and you're done. I mean, yeah, it's you know, whatever the hell. And it's just, it's so, and it wasn't so much that she advocated for it as much as she just understood that's how it was. And that you do not, you know, poke the bear. And that certainly when you got a husband that's working at Moody's, you do not poke the bear and expect that you're going to keep what's her private opinion? Don't even really know.
Was, I mean, Moody's the one that downgraded the debt, or was that?
Yeah, eventually. Okay. I mean,
then,
you know.
And then they got the talking to.
Yeah, like, well, no, they got permission to.
Well, no, they ended up getting in trouble where they ended up, there was some sort of, something got yanked for them or some big.
Oh, I'm like, sure there were some ramifications, but, you know, somebody decided to pull the trigger on it and do it. I don't know who or what or permit they made, because it's just stupid if they do what they did before, you know, the layman thing. Because I had conversations with my brother-in-law on this. I'm going, you know, since the 90s, you know, I'm going, how in the hell are you guys doing? Well, the government reporter, that, well, there's your first problem right there. Oh, nope. We also get from private stuff like Arthur Anderson. And then, like, the same year, they got nailed for corruption and I'm going, you guys are killing me.
They were with Enron, yeah.
You know, I'm going, this is just seriously? And I'm going, how is it that you valued...
Enron basically invented the carbon tax, too.
Right. They wanted to benefit from that. That was, you know, they were first in line on that one. And and then Goldman Sachs took it, and they're going to, it's all the same guys. So I go to my brother-in-law. How did you value these mortgages that were so late, so this, so that? You know, and you go in the Big Short and you see what was really going on. How did you do that? What was the criteria? Well, it's the same thing Japan's doing. It's that you look at a stock and you want to see how it performed. Well, they just like real estate in Tokyo. They just keep selling it back and forth to each other. And the last sucker that bought it, and he's, you know, the music stopped. And he didn't get a chair, and it all comes tumbling down, and somebody made the money.
And 25 years later, you can sell it for what you bought it for.
I'm. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like if the stock market crashes and it takes, you know, like in Japan, it took, I think, like over 20 years for the stock market to get back to where it was when they...
Yeah, just by a number, but the purchasing power of that don't mean crap. It's still, man, you're done. You know, if that's what you were counting on just to get your dollars back, yeah, you can buy a loaf of bread.
A lot of this is all demographics, because Japan is basically, you know, 20 years ahead. And then they're also 20 years ahead of stupid central bank decisions in terms of, hey, we're going to bring everything down to zero and then just, you know, have this whole zombie banking system.
Oh, we ain't even got the POW yet.
We haven't even got to a lot of things. This is like the Twilight Zone where we just hit 27,000 for the first time, you know, while we're on air over here. And it's like we were here nearly 2 years or basically January of 2018 where, you know, we're just about at 27,000. We're like 26,009 something. And then, you know, here we are 2 years late, 2 years later, everyone's cheering because the market's, you know, 100 points higher than where it was 2 years ago. And all this is because yesterday Jay Powell came out and said basically prepping the market for a rate cut when they meet on either the 30th or 31st of this month. And who came out December 28th of last year had a podcast entitled "When's the Next Rate Cut?" There wasn't anybody calling for a rate cut in December of last year, and it was called "When's the Rate Cut?" And then you go back; it's so frustrating because, like, having the podcast, having that speech I gave the Breakfast Club, saying the Trump effect and why good news is bad news, and basically nailing all this. So I need to put together my own little, not to pat myself on the back.
No, you need to do it. You know, it's kind of Peter Schiff was semi right some of the time, and Tim was always right.
Especially about Bitcoin. I went back and I found some clips too, where I found my clip on Anarchast, and I've got Jeff Berwick saying, hey, you know, this is only TDV subscriber material, but it's January 2018. I've got Tim Pichote on to tell you how you can sell some of your Bitcoin while it's at 20,000. Like that's what I was out there. I mean, you've got the guys on CNBC, you know, telling you how to buy a Ripple at $3, and I'm here telling you how you know, Ripple, you know, shouldn't even be in it. But yeah, the stock market just hit an all-time high, and hit an all-time high because, and at the same time, when I think like the 2-year bond and the 10-year treasury is super low, like I think it's even below 2%. Basically, the bond market is signaling a recession. The stock market is signaling great times ahead, but it's the cat wagging the dog. And the only reason the stock market is up is because they know that the rates are going to go back down to zero. So you'd rather have, you know, your money into an asset that's going to appreciate, but, you know, because you're going to hyperinflate the currency, versus having your money in, you know, stock or in bonds and cash that are, you know, you're going to just go broke safely sitting over there. And so it's just so frustrating seeing this from, you know, 100,000 foot view of what these guys are doing. And now we're at the point where I don't know what's going to happen. Is it going to go, the stock market going to go to infinity from here? Or is it going to, realities, or is bad news going to be bad news again? Because there's only so much longer they can have this keep going. And I think everyone right now that thinks Donald Trump is a lock, everyone who I talk to right now thinks Donald Trump is an absolute lock. They don't think there's any chance that he's going to lose whatsoever. And I don't care who I'm talking, unless I'm talking to an extreme liberal, but everyone I'm talking to thinks there's like a 0% chance he's going to lose. And I think that's one of the things going to do him in, because I think the Federal Reserve is going to pull the rug out from him or do something probably a month or two before the election, maybe three or four months before the election, who knows? Because I think the numbers are, there's an 86% chance of the incumbent winning, or the incumbent party winning, as long as the stock market's up the previous 2 months before the election. And so, you know, right now, I think Trump blew his load a little bit too early on getting all this stuff done. And so he's got to be really careful. Not that I care, because at this point, the worst thing I thought that could happen was Donald Trump gets in there, everybody sees, just like you've been talking about, you know, since day one, to see, you know, the system's going on, and we're going to go and we're going to have everything, you know,
perpetuate the system to keep going, and we're going to save the system, because I wanted him to be there to pick up the pieces from the system, not to be able to save it, because now, you know, quote unquote conservatives are going to get the blame for it, and it's going to be socialist. Not if it's not 2020, certainly going to be 2024, and I would almost rather have the Democrats get in 2020, so then that way, you know, everything, you know, maybe gets blamed on, you know, socialist policies other than the free market, which we obviously don't have a free market right now, but it's perceived as being a free market.
Yeah, no. I see the rise of the Waltons.
They just gave away all their money, though, didn't
Waltons.
They?
No. Not that Walton. Not the Walmart guys. You know. Good night, John boy.
I think that might date me.
Yeah, it does. The Waltons was a TV series in the 70s that was a big family, farm family that lived during the Depression. And it was all about, yeah, the sisters down the road, they're selling the recipe, which they were moonshining, you know, whatever. And they lived in a rural area, and there's this depression thing that they hear about, whatever, I don't know, my chicken's laying eggs, I don't know what you're talking about, you know. So, yeah, there were hard times, and they talked about it. It was just family life on the farm kind of thing. So it was a family show. But my point from that was, is that during the Great Depression, if you could, you had a place to dwell and you could feed yourself, you know, it wasn't that bad. You may not have had new shoes, you know, this decade I get a new pair of shoes. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. But as far as family life and, you know, building and working the land and having, you know, you didn't have too much interference except for the revenuers wanting to find the moonshine. But is that what we have anywhere now? I don't know, maybe the Amish. But I'm going, or Native Americans probably could say, hey, man, white man, get off our land. We're sovereign. We do what we want. And, you know, and in addition to this casino, we got, like, I don't know, freedom or something. I go, hey, man, on the Native American reservation, we go and campaign during election time. You know, like, I go all kinds of different places, run a statewide race. And I talk to these guys, and all they want to know is what congressman is going to give more goodies. I'm like, whoa. You guys got sovereign nation of freedom, kind of man, offer me, hell, you could sell me a tribe membership. I'm all over it. You know, let me build. What the heck have they got them so welfareized in their mindset they can't free themselves because they can't imagine anything else? It's amazing. But when the internet came out and you got young minds out there learning, a lot of them were Ron Paller guys, you know, like Sean Dean. You know, he's Navajo and I think he's Navajo and Hopi. He had Navajo and Hopi parents. That was like, you know, a white woman married a black guy in the South or something. I mean, but, you know, bringing the nations together. But the opportunities that are going to be available to us is only going to be found in the black. And that's where we're going. That's pirate's life for me. And the people that always survive the calamities, the people that are insulated from all of the depressions and all of the war and all of the only people that, you know, thrive and survive and they're out in the somewhere are the decentralized, leave me aloneist, I didn't even know that I don't have a TV, you know. So I'm going, we need to get that mindset to create our own, or be able to. So here's, you know, one thing, I don't know if you know about this. All right, here we go. Trump invites fringe social media company popular with Nazis to the White House. Okay, you know what this is about?
I only know because I did happen to catch this part when I was driving over.
Okay. It's the...
Minds.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's social media guys are having come home. You're like, Tim Pool is going and some other guys, some prominent, you know, Trump supporters or not. Or I don't think he's a big, giant Trump supporter, but alternative.
I didn't get my invite.
Shut down. What? Get your what?
I didn't get my invite. I mean, what?
Hey, man, you might. You know, it's a comment.
Maybe I didn't check my...
Well, Minds.com is Bill Ottman. Okay, so I know Bill... Oh, crap. Donna!
I interviewed Bill like a month and a half ago.
Okay, I'm going to go. We both got to start. We got to get him back on because we got an inside guy going to be telling us what's up. Now, I wonder if Bill Ottman's going to go. I mean, I would imagine they not, you know, they're not going to invite the guy that did it, you know, but $6 million got invested with them, invested by Patrick Byrne, you know, from T-Zero guys, Overstock. So I'm going to put on here, Donna, you know, get Bill Ottman on. You know, I get here. I know. I just yell. Hold on a second. I yelled Donna, but that don't mean nothing. She's off with the kids out there. She probably doesn't even hear me. But I, yeah.
Well, I was surprised that that was the guy who they want to call. Here she is.
Bill Ottman from Mines. Do what you can to get him on as soon as possible. He's meeting with Trump on stuff or whatever. So send him a thing, will you please?
Yeah, and this whole thing, I mean, it's all just been squandered. I mean, the fact that, you know, Trump hasn't done something sooner in terms of getting off of Twitter, I mean, after they, you know, because, you know, the guy's just a narcissist. He sees all the people following him. And I saw another article the other day where it was on Yahoo Finance where it said, and I think it was yesterday, it goes, you know, Trump doesn't understand social media. He thinks that there's people out there who are shadow banning and who are censoring and who are shutting people down. And that's just, he just doesn't understand how social media works because we all know that that's not going on.
Well, what do I put up? I put up the Vice article. I just want it out there, everybody to know all the BS that they're saying. Go ahead, sling it, man, but I'll get you on record. I want on Freedom's Phoenix. You guys say it. Let's do it. The last paragraph, okay. Also in attendance, among others, will be the far-right radio host, blah, blah, and far-right this, and QAnon, whatever, and somebody or something. Don't care. Mind CEO Bill Ottman, who is scheduled to attend the summit, according to Pulp, has given a few high-profile interviews this year on the Joe Rogan podcast and to controversial Fox News personality Tucker Carlson, who is often cited as having a deep influence on the Trump administration and declare your independence from Sancon.
Tucker Carlson is deemed controversial now. I mean, guy's so milquetoast.
Yeah, but he's anti-war. You know, that's a big thing with Tucker Carlson. You know, you got Hannity up there ready to bomb somebody, you know, and Tucker Carlson, it basically said, Trump, you have a war. You're not getting elected again. You don't have a chance, you know? And I agree with that sentiment.
100%.
They do a war, it's over. I don't even care. Yeah, but you get reelected when you have a war. Bullshit. And I don't give a crap, but not this time. And if it does, it's because I don't trust the system anyway. I don't give a crap. Oh, I got to tell you, 2020. Remember, we keep talking. I got to have something for 2020. We got to have a hook. We got to have an issue. We got to have a, you know, a campaign, an initiative or something. Did you hear me talking about the occupancy permit thing?
No.
He's coming on tomorrow, I think. Yeah, I think Donna has him. Yeah, Mike Silva. You guys listen to this. Mike Silva is one of the Free State Project guys that got elected as a state legislator. Well, of course, he's voting against, you know, money and expansion of government or whatever in different places. So, there's, you know, of course, the machine doesn't like that. Well, some city council, you know, where he bought a burned down farmhouse and he got, oh, I'll get that. Well, it had a nice barn. It's got nice property. It's got, so he, I'll get that. Got a deal on it, right? He just moved his RV in the barn and he starts living there and I'll build and do whenever and kind of get over. Oh, see, it's burned down. You got to rebuild. You got to have a occupancy permit. Well, your occupancy permit is determined on your electric, your sewer, your this, your that, you know, yada yada yada, and the RV don't count. So yeah, you're not allowed to occupy. Well, how do you know I'm occupying? Because we were spying. God, somebody said or whatever the heck. So it's going through that. So then I started to understand. I'm going, where did this occupancy permit mindset building code thing come from? And certainly, you know, even when did it get out of municipal areas, you know, a jurisdiction of a city, if you're out in the middle of the nothing, the county or whatever, how did that even happen? So anyway, he's in this small town. They're coming after him.
And wouldn't you want to leave, like, the Free State Project representative alone, like, on this one issue? Because then, obviously, he's going to make a big issue with the community about
it. They don't think that way. They don't care. They, you know, shiny badges.
They work for the government.
Yeah, they're, you know, because we got, you know, we were told to do it. Hell, we're going to get support from, you know, freaking Federal Reserve is going to kick your ass. I mean, whatever it is, they don't want this to become a thing. Especially in Live Free or Die, you know, New Hampshire. So they thought they were going to explain it to him. Well, he's been pushing back on everything. Yep, all right, explain it. Let's go. Of course, they do this $1,000 a day fine thing, you know. So they, well, we'll negotiate. We'll take that away if you capitulate, kiss the ring, and do it. Nope, not going to happen. We're going to make this an example. Let's go. So
Which one of the amendments is against, like, the you know, excessive fines? And, like, has that ever been defined? I mean, because I would say $1,000 a day sounds pretty freaking excessive.
I think it's 4th, 5th, 6th. It's yeah, it's one of the Bill of Rights. So anyway, so in this is a opportunity for me to have the understanding. I'm going, what gives them this power? It's that occupancy permit. To get that permit, you got to kiss their ass and do whatever the hell it is they put on. Where did all this come from? It was an international UN kind of standard of whatever the hell, as you do the sustainable development and all this agenda, whatever the hell, that's when it really started to ramp up, and why in the mid-90s they want to do this regional government thing, that they add this layer of we control the land kind of deal. This is during the Clinton administration, they were shutting off. So it's all part of the same, it was a plan. And it's based on this occupancy permit concept. And certainly when you get out of a municipal corporation or you get out of an HOA or you get out, you're just out on unincorporated county of Bite Me in the Desert. How in the hell does that? So what do I do? I'm going, yeah, that's the issue. Is we're going to attack directly their power, which is what Trump did with the EPA and their jurisdiction over water. Now, a lot of people don't know, early in his administration, first thing he did was go, nope, EPA doesn't get to stop you with the water thing. And they freaked the F out on that thing, and they sure as hell didn't want to bring any more attention to it. They just kind of let that one go. Occupancy permit. You do to where, and so if it pleases the crown, can I dwell on my own land?
Yeah, so I know with the EPA, people are creating like little ponds in their backyard, and then trying to like, you know, $1,000-a-day fines to get rid of your pond and all. And it wasn't the EPA that like let out all the toxic chemicals from that one mine and like polluted massively?
That
like,
don't matter. They don't give a crap what who are they accountable to.
And then have you ever seen the EPA building? It is like a monstrosity. I think it's actually called the William Jefferson Clinton EPA building. And it was like this gigantic granite building. I'm like, I wonder how many mountains had to be moved just to make this freaking building.
And yeah, there's no logic and reason to their crap. I just want to get this issue out. Because for me, to be a pirate shelter thing, I'm all excited about the domes. There is so much. They've got a concrete pad building one in Washington I went and saw that they're working on. Jay Noon has, you know, one thing about these domes, he has a big double dome. I mean, this place.
I saw a picture of it. Yeah,
yeah. It's probably 15,000 square feet, you know, 3-4 levels of. I mean, it's an enormous thing. It's a famous dome thing from the 70s. Hell, I think they shot, you know, porn there or something for some channel, of whatever. So he goes, yeah, and I think it was right over there, you know. So, Lost. It's a beautiful building that's going to be, he's going to, because it's Jay Noon, he's going to pimp it out. Well, how do you keep it, you know, from leaking? You got these problems, you know, they just didn't have the right covering. It didn't work right. He goes, well, dummy, pond liners. These big, thick, black plastic pond liners and the overlapping 6 inches of this tape that does it is stronger than the pond liner. You try and rip it, it rips the rubber before it does the tape. So this, he goes, you just do it in section, put it up in this dome cover, and never leak forever. And
it's
I
like,
go,
it's like the real life. It's like the real life MacGyver.
Real life. You wouldn't believe. There was a guy up at Porkfest. He was from like Ohio. And to make it there, I don't know why he did this or whatever, but he had a school bus that didn't have enough power in the diesel or whatever to make it go, you know, to make it. It was just struggling up mountains and so on. Well, of course, Jay goes, well, you need to, you know, link it to this transmission, to link it to this gear ratio, the rear end of the boom, kind of do that, and you're fixed. Well, this guy's fix was he put a diesel pickup, you know, with that kind of that A-frame, you know, connection to the bus, and he had it running, and he had the accelerator control at the front of the bus, and it was helping push the bus. So he had a diesel truck pushing his diesel, you know, school bus, and I'm going, okay, that's one way to do it, you know? But it was the flow of air, because it's so close, it didn't, and it was overheating. So then they, you know, do a spoiler here and do, you know, Jay Noon stuff. So just sitting there as we were leaving, they're packing up and he's doing all diesel geekdom for an hour. It was amazing to even listen to these guys. And I'm going, you know, this is high tech stuff, understanding of even the computer chips or what I mean. You know, the guys with the grease monkey of down underneath and do it. Very smart people that you want in your zombie apocalypse out, you know, in the outback, guys.
You were over my head about 1 second into your explanation.
Yeah, I know.
It's like when I talk
diesel
about
truck pushing diesel truck.
Like when I talk about like all the trust stuff, and I know what everybody else probably hears that.
Media Matters is reporting the summit will be attended by an assortment of individuals connected to nationalist movements, QAnon, anti-Semitic conspiracies surrounding George Soros.
Did you see how they threw
George Soros, they're against him. He pays for our crap.
Oh, do you know who got uninvited from it for being a Nazi? I think it was Ben Garrison, one of the cartoonists, because he had if you just search engine right now, like Ben Garrison, Nazi Trump summit or whatever, there was a photo where it shows basically the politicians being controlled by the puppet master, and the puppet master was Soros. And then it shows Soros being controlled by a puppet master, and the puppet master was the Rothschilds. And so they're saying that. So the ADL came out and said that that is a anti-Semitic. So it's funny because you know, he might have to sue the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, for defamation. So there is a. So I don't know if they showed
the story
cartoon.
Up. Trump invites alt-right cartoonist accused anti-Semite Ben Garrison to the White House. So then he uninvited him.
Yeah, I guess he was uninvited. So if you scroll down, yeah, there's the photo right there for you guys. But yeah, it shows politicians and generals being controlled by Soros, and then Soros being controlled by the Rothschilds. And so so because of the ADL was. ADL is basically formed in order to basically try to say any basically resentment or disapproval of central banks means you're anti-Semitic.
Yeah, McMaster, Petraeus, Soros, and then controlling Soros is Rothschilds.
Now, what if you put like the Vatican above the Rothschilds? Would that then be like, would it still be anti-Semitic?
I don't know how it's they and those. I mean, it goes from back. That's one thing with Max Egan today.
Can you put lizards above like the lizards like go, all the way on top?
You know, Max Egan has been going on about they're so much in control and for so long that they just rewrote history. You know, they said there's like 1,000 years in the last couple thousand. There's 1,000 years that just doesn't jibe with a whole bunch of stuff. And it's just they just made it up, you know, to whatever their advantage. Because if they get your kids in school, and my teacher said, and they go tell their parents, you get one or two generations, you're done. This is the new truth.
Or somehow in the Bible we can leave out, you know, when from Jesus is from like 13 to 28 or something. We're just not going to, you know, mention anything that happened during his formative years because somehow that was.
Well, that's a whole nother thing. You know, the Bible, when was it written? How kind of just I'm, you know.
And you're telling me nobody changed it over the course of, you know, 2000 or anything wasn't selectively left out or edited.
Of course, it's called the Apocrypha.
Yeah, back when nobody knew.
Have you ever heard of the Apocrypha?
I'm sure.
Let me tell you just real quick so you understand. When you get a bunch of Bibles and so on laying around, you accumulate. I mean, I accumulate a lot of Bibles because I just, you know, I'm not putting it in the shredder. You're not throwing them in the trash. You're not, I mean, it'd take a lot to throw away by you. You always donate, and some Bibles kind of accumulate. You know, they kind of got their reverence. It's like, you know, I'm not using the Bible or the Quran
as
toilet
flag.
Paper or something.
No, it's not the
yeah,
flag.
It's kind of like, you know, yeah, you know what I mean. So you accumulate a bunch of these, and I had, you know, one laying around one time. And a friend at church, it was a birthday card or something. So he's always into quotes. And I use the Bible a lot just for inspiration. Or you got you flip a coin or just open the Bible, read a passage. Okay, that, you know, usually helps, you know, direct, you know, some decision or something. It's like flipping a coin. Because there's a lot of wisdom in there. I mean, like, you know, but there's a lot of wisdom in there. So I go, all right. I open one up and it was... I can't remember what the book was written by, but I didn't really recognize it, but I'm not, you know, memorizing every book, whatever. And it had a passage, and I put it in there. It kind of said what I wanted to. I put it there, and he goes, "The hell was that? What freaking Satan Communist Manifesto of whatever the hell, where'd that come from?" And I go, "I don't know. It was in the Bible." And he goes, "That's not a book in the Bible." I go, "Really?" And I went looking, and I go, "The hell is this? None of them were in it," because I just open it, you know, and just find something. Well, I looked at it, and I found out there's a thing called the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha, the Catholic Church, is part of their Bible, but it's not the King James Bible, which was what? The, you know, Church of England, and they kind of did the Protestant thing of, you know, something else. Because, I don't know, King Henry wanted to lop off that was how they did divorce back then. He lopped off his, you know, wife's head and did something. Anyway, the Pope didn't like it. So he goes, "Ah, screw you, I got my own church." That's basically how I remember it. Well, that's the Protestants. Then you got Martin Luther when the printing press came out and they started printing, "I become my own priest. I can read what the damn thing says myself." So all this stuff is going on. The Council of Nicaea was Constantinople, which is Istanbul, the Eastern Roman Empire. And I remember this from a history paper that Donna had done one time. She took a college class just kind of get, you know, worldview. I go like this. I go, "Man, you went to Penn State, and they didn't teach you a damn thing, man. You need to take a history class or something." So she went to Glendale Community for a couple of classes. It was awesome. And she didn't get the textbook. She only used a World Encyclopedia, an old one that hadn't been so edited so much, wrote this fantastic paper on serfs in the Middle Ages, and then another one on the Roman Empire. She got 110 and 120% on it from the professor. So I asked to meet with them. I wanted to know why it was such a big, because of course he's just teaching the textbook where he didn't know half of this crap. And she just used an older history book before they purge everything, you know, from the 60s or some world book encyclopedia. Because if you got the encyclopedias that take up 4 feet on your bookshelf and 20 years later, the new one takes up 4 feet on your bookshelf, they took something out, you know. So I'm going, wow. So she wrote these. I met with them and I'm going, what did you find? So I was interested in how, and he goes, yeah, this is stuff I never, this is awesome. You know, she did such a good job. And I go, I just want to tell you a story. We were too poor to buy the $75 book, and she just did it from an old world book encyclopedia and some other stuff in the library. You know, and he was so enthralled, enraptured, and surprised by this. And this is before the internet. You know, this was like in the mid-90s or something, or even earlier. So I just, wow, you are not learning a damn thing with these guys. You know, what the hell are you wasting your time for? You just go watch all James Corbett, you know, videos. So,
and the textbooks are owned by the Rothschild family.
Exactly. You know, this is, it's, then we talked about, God, it was Corbett and I, he remembers this. It was Encarta. You remember Encarta?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Encarta was Microsoft's version of an encyclopedia. And at the same time, I got that. I thought that'd be cool, easy thing for the kids to use and everything. Started going through that, comparing it with an old world book encyclopedia. Dog shit. Total propaganda crap. At the same time, we had CDs that had all of the National Geographic from the beginning up to that point. Every National Geographic was, you know, PDF'd and page by page, and it was searchable and everything. That was awesome. Kids got so much stuff. They kicked ass on the reports, you know, doing that stuff. But I could see Microsoft Digital Information, and what did I think of? That old Star Trek episode where he goes, books, not this homogenized, pasteurized crap, digitized, you know, books. If you really want to know the law of, you know, books, you know, the lawyer for Captain Kirk and something. And so all of this is proving true. You know, all of this is coming out. All the science fiction.
It's like
writers.
Yesterday on Wikipedia, they edited all the Jeffrey Epstein connections to the Democrats.
Right.
Which Nancy Pelosi's daughter had a tweet that came out, Christine Pelosi, saying, "Be careful. There's a lot of stuff with the Democrats, and some of our faves are going to be implicated into this. Faves, as in, you know,
favorites. Yeah,
yeah, favorites. But no, yeah, it's all. I mean, there's, yeah, like Prince. I mean, it's just crazy the people that are implicated in this. But yeah, I mean, now we've got the digital modern day book burning. And I think all this originally we started talking about this because of the Bible. I've actually read the encyclopedia, but I haven't read the Bible, which I probably.
Well, you know, and the point. And let me skip to the end. You know, the guest wants to talk, and it gets me off on it. You're not allowed to talk. I talk.
Well, I listened for like 20 minutes yesterday, and I think I heard Frank say like three words in the 20 minutes I was listening.
Now you guys get in.
Hey, Frank.
Whatever. You know, sorry. But the point I was making on the Bible thing is that the Council of Nicaea was about determining what books actually made it into the Bible. How it was constructed, what the story was going to be. So they all sat around because Christianity became the religion of the state. This was, the Romans were burning and lions eating Colosseum Christians or whatever, supposedly. I mean, how the hell do we know? And so they were doing that. But then by the time Constantinople became the Eastern Empire and doing all their stuff, he converted to Christianity. And we're not going to find them, fight them. We're going to join them. And here we go. And we're going to, you know, say what's what. Well, here comes Romans, whatever that says, you know, thou shalt do what the government says stuff. I mean, you know, that made it in there. You know, they added that one. You know, so all of this stuff. And that was one thing a friend of mine was saying, the early books of Paul and the later ones, it's not the same author. It's not even the same concept. It's not the same, you know, tone. It's not the same. So to think that men, politicians, statecraft, sitting in Constantinople, the, you know, center of the Roman Eastern Empire at the time, are, you know, writing what God said or something, I'm supposed to, you know, take that as gospel or something, is to be naive, okay? Don't be a stupid idiot.
You think fake news didn't exist back then when no one knew how to fucking read? Like, are you kidding me? Like, back, I mean, look at the stuff they pull today when you've got everybody out there with a magnifying glass and being able to say, hey, no, you didn't, you guys said the exact opposite 3 years ago.
Fake news.
Like, what, you don't think they had fake news when
but I tell you, I don't want to leave, you know, I'm a believer, and it's from personal experience, not from some freaking book or not, you know, it's kind of, then I can go on and on, but that's not the point. We are hardwired to be receptive to this whatever something to something. And it's a personal journey. It's a personal thing. And for them to take that hardwiring and that truth to bastardize it in such a way to support the man. And the Bible, you got your anointed, appointed, elected of whatever, and kind of you got. And I hear this from Republicans. It's like, you know, Trump's got divine providence or something. He's got divine right of rule me. And I'm going, the hell he does. You know what I mean? That man, you've definitely gone off the rails on that one. So this has been fake news since for freaking ever. Why? Because they can. What the hell did you think was going to happen? You know, so I'm. No, government got, and it used to be when in the late 70s, before this born again, whatever the heck it was, they pushed into politics. It used to be that religion was kind of to stay out of politics. It had gone, you know, the revolution had gotten to the point where by the 70s, they were like, yeah, you just don't, you know, it's the word of Christ and the message of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ and you turn the other cheek and your brothers and then sell your cloak for a sword if and when and kind of all this kind of stuff was outside politics. So then we got to bring it in. And a lot of them did. Now, Chuck Baldwin was part of that in the 80s. He was in the middle of it, having the prayer meetings in the White House and meeting with and doing it. He was in the middle of it. He knows exactly what happened and how. I've done interviews with him. He goes, let me tell you how it went. You know, it was all political BS. And then what do? Faith-based initiatives during the, Baby Bush's term, www.warmonger.com Bush, that guy. So what did he do? Faith-based initiative. Here's some money. We're going to yada, yada, yada. We rule you and give me your database. This whole thing is about databases. And then you got Facebook, and now they're going to get your money, and here we go. And what does a young 30-something-year-old Tim Pachote, also other than the age, have in common with Christ? What were you guys up against?
The banks, the
man. Money changers. That's the only time you saw Christ get pissed off.
Well, this is actually what helped, because I grew up Catholic and was heavily indoctrinated into all that, and I didn't want to get. I forgot what comes first. So I had the confirmation, or I forgot what. There's one like when you're probably like 8 years old that you go through, and then there's the other confirmation when you're 16.
God, I don't even know the word catechism.
No, I think you got your first confirmation, and then you've got then there's something else like when you're 16.
I can't remember. Donna would know all this stuff. She's raised Catholic, so.
I did all the church school every week for because I basically had to. Then I was forced to become confirmed at 16, and then my dad's like, we're gonna kick you out of the house if you don't, and then he kicked me out at 17 anyway. So then I didn't go back, but. I'm like, this is the Catholic religion. I mean, I'm not bashing actual Catholics. A lot of them are very good people.
System.
It's just the whole system. I just saw right through it. So then I became more, I guess we'd probably call it more like agnostic and didn't really care as much. And then I started getting into, someone told me the Federal Reserve is private and I thought they're full of crap. And, I'm sure I've already told the story a million times. And then as I remember giving a talk one day to a group that had nothing to do, that didn't, just more of a vanilla networking type group, nothing to do with politics, nothing to do with, Bitcoin or any of the stuff we talk about. And one of the guys like, wow, he's like, your outlook, he goes, your prognostication on all this stuff sounds like basically you ripped this off from the Book of Revelations. I'm like, I never even read the Book of Revelations or any of the Bible.
It's we're just playing out right now.
But I somehow came to the same conclusions without having read that. And so that's what basically got me more, I don't want to say religious, spiritual or believing in God, was actually coming to the same conclusions without having read the book, and then bringing the guy back from the dead too. I mean, that was and then being in the right place at the right time after somebody had asked me, hey, how do you bring somebody back to life when they drowned, and then I'm in that situation 4 hours later. I mean, that's pretty freaking coincidental that all that stuff happened, and that I guess led me to being more spiritual and believing in everything. But yeah, not this turning into a big religion show over
no,
here.
No, it's the same control, same. See, there's one thing I learned a lot. A friend of mine was telling me about, he recently became Christian. And it was just total, boom. It just hit him, meditation of all of a sudden you chose wisely. And I went through that. It's a confirmation. It's a leap of faith. It's one of those, all right, well, I read the Bible, and I could see, I probably wouldn't have done it now at older age, but like 2021, it was in a, you know, a situation filled with the spirit. Yes, I accept. Boom. It was a big giant. You chose wisely. And I know what it was. It was a place of submission. It's like there's no atheists in foxholes kind of thing, you know. When you put yourself in that submission, it wasn't I wasn't in any trauma or anything. I was just searching for the truth. And I could see what it was. It's a little, I may have made the chasm really narrow. I mean, it wasn't a giant leap of faith, but there was at least a step there after you're going through a lot of research. And I kind of got it. And then boom, confirmation. And I went, whoa, okay, I get it. And a lot of people, they want to repeat that feeling by worship and singing and doing all that. They want to get in that state. It's like a high almost. And I was just happy for the confirmation. I'm like, okay, we'll go down this road. Well, the Gnostics, that which said, you know, I got the, here, let me pull up the.
It's first communion is like when you're 8 years old, then it's first, then it's confirmation.
Okay, Catholic. Communion, okay. Confirmation. All right, you got that. I'm glad you remembered or.
I didn't splinter, look it up, no.
Be a splinter in your brain. The, Gnosticism, having knowledge, you know, from knowledge, is a modern name for a variety of ancient religious ideas and systems originating in a Jewish Christian milieu in the first and second century. These systems believe that the material world is created by an emanation of works of a lower god and trapping the divine spark. So it's like the Holy Spirit thing within the human body. This divine spark can be liberated by gnosis, spiritual knowledge acquired through direct experience. Some of the core teachings include the following. All matter is evil and non-material. Spirit realm is good. And basically, I mean, it's Wikipedia, and you know, they're going to say whatever. But the idea that I got was this. The more that you understand the truth of reality and your spiritual and what you tune into and kind of you start to see that influences of the spirit are much more powerful than whatever you can do here, and that you are part of God or God is you, and it something totally different. That was the main thing was it was a decentralized individual experience of your own connection. It's a personal thing. And you don't got some, are you born again? Are you a born again Christian? And that is when it went into politics. And it was Reagan in 1980. They go, are you a born again Christian? Because Carter, yeah, I'm born again. Reagan, are you born again? And he's like, born again? What the hell are you talking about? And he wouldn't give him any deference. Gotta say, you're born again. And there was a big thing for 15, 20 years. It still is. Are you born again? Born again? What the hell does that mean? That you check out, that you got to be Christian enough, according to them. And this is the one thing I realized over my adult life. You can never be Christian enough, and you can never be atheist enough. I mean, it's just, you know, yeah, well, I think, you crack here, and they go freak out.
Or libertarian or anarchist.
Or libertarian or anarchist enough. I mean, there's always somebody, so that's why I take such a hard, I got my back up against 100% freedom, and I ain't moving. You guys can come over this way, because I ain't doing it. So, ain't. Get over it, I say ain't. So, now we have this in competition with the approved doctrine. The approved Bible, the approved Council of Nicaea, the King James Version that has that Romans thing in there.
Or Council of Nicaea or a con.
The con of Nicaea. Okay. So this is what has. So what did they do? The Catholic Church, the Gnostics, they exterminated them. They went after any and anyone that even thought that, because that was the virus that they are worried about. Is challenging their central authority.
What would Jesus do? He would kill everybody that didn't agree.
Right. That's what the Inquisitions and stuff were all about. You know, the Knights Templar were kind of more Gnostic. So all this, you go in history, it's the same battle. It's always been the same battle. It's down to the individual versus the collective. And the individual, that's why deep in us, you can do it. That's why I do these popular movie things, Matrix, Braveheart, Gladiator, Lord of the Rings, V for Vendetta, you know, it goes on and on, The Patriot. I mean, all these are about the individual versus the collective. That's why they're blockbusters. That's why people, you know, gravitate towards these, and that's why a lot of them are, you know, Mel Gibson. But so it's the collective. Apocalypto, about the Aztecs, that was a perfect example of it.
I saw that.
Yeah, the priests know everything. The eclipse comes, and they kind of eyeball, you know, the sun went away, And through us, we're sacrificing all these guys because we knew it was coming, and then made the sun come back. Guess who's freaking in charge now? I mean, it's just knowledge. So that's what they were saying. Knowledge to know frees you. You know, and it allows you to be more spiritual, and you can, you know, a higher attainment of what your mind is. And there, we can go on and on about that and so on, but it just shows fake news started a long time ago.
And where it's ultimately going is they want to upload your consciousness into some sort of AI being where you've already got the knowledge of what's been programmed, of how you're going to think and what you're going to think and when you're going to think and how you're going to spend your money. And we're going to control everything. It's this master AI that, you know, Kurzweil and all the other, you know, futurists and tech people talk about. And that's where everything is going. And so we've got a big battle on our hands the next 20 years. And hopefully through cryptocurrency, you know, is probably the fastest and most efficient way to eliminate government and control if we allow it, because what's going to happen is people are going to beg for the government crypto. They're gonna say, hey, look how great this Libra is. And so it's, you know, up to people like us who are listening to this right now to basically steer people in the right direction. But hey, you know, it's, well, maybe we can show them, you know, how to use Libra, but then say, hey, there's this other one, you know, and show them how to use, you know, alternative cryptocurrencies, so you can be more private and you aren't going to be tracked and traced. But, you know, at this point, I'm probably going so that way I can get, I want to run a few things by you off air. But, no, it's just the craziness of the stock market back at 20, or not back, first time at 27,000. You got the net, or S&P, I think, crossed 3,000 yesterday. And a lot of complacency while, you know, a lot of crazy stuff's going on because the stock market's at all-time highs while the bond market's signaling recessions, while you got crypto going up. Crazy, crazy times. Certainly not going to be bored the next few months.
And I think this Epstein thing is going to be just an enormous blow to the establishment of whatever. This has been a Trump, you know, kind of, you know, ace up his sleeve sitting over here, kind of, we know what's up.
Has it been in the news? I haven't watched the news or paid attention to the news, so I don't know if it, like, makes the rounds in MSNBC.
Well, it does on Freedom's Phoenix. So, I mean, you know, it's from all kinds of different places, but... Zero Hedge has been doing a lot on it, and then of course, you know, some other writers and bloggers and vloggers and so on that we
Well, I know you guys, Zero Hedge. I'm wondering, like, we'll have to ask Frank, because Frank watches the news, so we don't have to. So we'll have to see if it's on, like, the mainstream
news
outlets.
Yeah, this Epstein thing, I'm sure it's hit Fox.
But they're probably there. There was a meme that's going around right now. I think it's actually on my Facebook where it says, you know, the left says is trying to use Epstein to pin Trump, and the right's trying to use Epstein to pin Clinton, and then meanwhile it shows the Willy Wonka guy is sipping tea and goes, the fact that both the current president and the former president are both connected to a pedophile tells you everything you need to know.
Everything.
About it. Goes, meanwhile I'm over here just sipping tea thinking about the fact that the current and former president are both connected to pedophiles, and yet that explains exactly how,
you know, I said
works.
This when we were up watching, we had a dinner and we're just a bunch of guys, and you know, sitting there shooting it, and I just said something. I go, yeah, you know, you get the minimum job requirement of a congressman being a pedophile. And I went on to something, and the German guy, whoa, 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 what? Oh, explain that to me. You know what? So then my friend comes up and he goes, yeah, Ernie's just saying that, you know, the people that make it to Congress, they have to have something on them. They make sure that, you know, daddy, I get on the Lolita Express. And, you know, the 20 times that I went to, you know, Fantasy Island of Epstein, Lolita, whatever, children with the little girls that we kind of was, you know, I was there for the suntan. I mean, you know, I of course, they need to have something on you or you don't make it. And there was a book.
And you know the AOC sex tape is going to be coming out, so they've got something hanging over. She basically
No,
what I'm saying is I wouldn't be surprised if they're she answered. This is actually, you can go look it up. She answered a casting call in order to be a congressman in terms of this one group.
Yeah,
was
no,
saying,
the recruiting of a bunch of progressive candidates.
So, yeah, she's willing to get on board and say whatever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you know that she's controlled.
Well, you know, the one thing, there was a picture, I think I sent it to you and Frank, has her sitting on an airplane giving the okay sign.
Well, you're racist. Well, I made that one white power video with the OK symbol, and I had her in there. And I don't know if your listeners have ever heard the clip of her the first time she ever ran across a garbage disposaler. And I thought it was satire. I when I heard it on the radio, I thought it was satire, and then kind of find out it was actual real life where AOC, she had never ran across a garbage disposaler until like 3 months ago.
And it was crazy. And she's like, what is this? Is this even real? Like, what do I use this for? Is this even environmentally sound? And I looked it up. You can blame the government for her not knowing what it is, because New York City banned garbage disposers for like 20, 30, 40 years because it was a drain.
Why?
It was a strain on their sewer system of people putting a bunch of crap down the sewers. And so for like until like the 90s, garbage disposers, and because of rent control, nobody, the landlords don't have any incentive to then increase the you know, make improvements. Yeah, because of, yeah, so you can blame the government for AOC.
All right, let's wrap it up, guy. We could go on forever. So much of this stuff, just know from the past year or two that you and I have been doing this, and of course with Frank and going over the news and so on, there's not a lot that we haven't predicted. I mean, it's pretty much coming. I mean, the crazy stuff that's
how
going,
long. That's how long some of this stuff. Some of the stuff's happening a lot quicker, and some of the stuff's taking a lot longer. But
it is definitely happening, and it's just. And if you want to take advantage of someone that's been predicting this since forever and got the infrastructure ready for all you guys that got filthy, stinking rich. And I remember him giving the presentation at Acapulco a couple years ago. He goes, remember you used to worry you didn't have enough money and now you're worried you got too much? Well, I'm here to take care of that for you.
Yeah, and that's actually, I got that clip yesterday. Actually, no, you know, it was right before I came in here, like 6:30 this morning. I was working on like an advertisement to make, and I used that like in the beginning of it. And so I wanted to show you and get,
yeah,
kind of get your opinion on how to
fan.
Put it together.
All right. Well, and thanks for hanging out with us the extra almost hour, guys. And I'm back in the studio. We'll start going over, but what's got my attention? I'm working on the solution. I hate coming, the problem. I mean, yeah, that's all very nice. What's the solution? I already know these guys. I've been doing this for decades. I'm telling you, they're bad. They're way worse. I mean, you cannot, freedom good, government bad. And then when I started doing radio, it was freedom good, government bad, bad, bad. And by 2003, I had three bads. Then I think it got up like 7 or 9. Freedom good, government bad, 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 bad. You know, and then they used to make fun of me. You know, they introduced me for something. The freedom good, government bad, 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 bad guy. You know, and now I like reset and just make it a bigger capital bad or something. I mean, you know, they keep adding it, keep getting worse. So we know what's the solution. PiratesWithoutBorders.com. It's a decentralization of everything down to the individual, and there's only a few of us doing this. It's taking time. We're fine with that. It's just building up this awareness and something, a campaign, and all of a sudden, boom, what they said. It always is that. It always happens. It's the only time it ever does happen. It's an explosion of awareness from something, and usually it's something like a 9/11, or it's a JFK assassination, or it's Ruby Ridge, or Waco, or Oklahoma City, or 9/11.
Some other false flag of the government.
Some other something, you know, and it's going to happen again. It was 07, 8, 9. We saw it screaming it in 08. I'm going, look, you guys have no, well, I'm screaming it again. And if you don't take advantage of the Liberty Advisor and you have an opportunity to preserve not only your wealth and your ability to survive this, but generationally for your family, because the bad guys are doing it, and Tim hacked it.
and you can protect yourself at the top. We're at the top right now. Never, the stock market's never been higher than right now. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was higher like 20 minutes ago, but I don't know.
Yeah, everybody wants to see you right when you should have done it 3 months before. You know, they always put it off. Now. And when we came back from this fake, Don and I had a lot of conversations. I'm going, yeah, we're going to have to. It's now time to pull the trigger on a bunch of stuff. And we've been investing and putting stuff in this. Now we got, you know, the network and the people and all the stuff happening. And this Libra thing, you know, the
Goldman Sachs coin,
Goldman Sachs, the deplatforming, the censoring, it just confirmed everything that we've been working towards and doing, because the back end, Freedom's Phoenix, is not WordPress. It is not in the United States. It is set up to be decentralized and to have a social media component, a lot of stuff that we haven't turned on or opened up or promoted that we do, because we're on DARPA's internet. I have to have something different. It will explode as soon as we get, and we're working on it. So I'm telling you, man, it's you stick with us, because I don't think I know. I know, I've been through this so many. It's so freaking neon flashing obvious to me. Is it to you? You listen to this show, you go Phoenix, Phoenix. It should be. You're going, they're bad. They're bad. And bad things happen to bad people.
I think this audience knows a lot more than obviously your traditional audience. This is a pretty smart audience, but it's just everyone listening right now probably wants to just bang their head against the table because everything is just so obvious and it's all coming together so quickly. How can you not know at this point?
Silver.
I almost don't even want to interact with anybody unless they're, libertarian anarchists at this point because I've almost just shunned myself away from every other old friend I used to have because it's just so frustrating dealing with people that at this point, if you aren't awake at this point, that's Darwin taking over.
Donna sold a home, gave me $1,500 or so. Yeah, go play and that's your money. And I go, and she got bunt, do whatever the hell she did. I don't care. She's lucky. I'm lucky I even got some. So I go, okay. I could buy some crypto. I knew it was going to go up. I knew this kind of, some I did. I bought, periodically I'll buy when they're, horizons down to 4. I buy a bunch and it goes to 12, 8, whatever. I don't care. But, there's some of these that, technologically I prefer. And I'm going, this is going to do that. And it's more private just to show support for something to the philosophy that they're behind. So I make some selective purchases. I get, $1,500, $1,600, and I go, silver or crypto? Silver. And I know that it probably now and the idea is crypto is gone, but I like McDucking it. I want to be able to roll around in it. I want to be able to hand it off to people. I got, a bunch of Freedom's Phoenix silver rounds that I pass around and I go to these festivals and I give a couple to Jordan Page and, one to Richard Grove with the money clip thing on it. And I give, that I just spread the wealth that way. Silver. And I'm thinking this is my thing. Silver is going to shoot like you wouldn't believe along with gold, but I think it's going to be a silver thing. Why wouldn't it be a silver thing? I don't know. Maybe they'll manipulate whatever, but I don't care. I'm just kind of old school that way.
We've got the silver to gold ratio right now. I think it's about 100 and it's never almost at that.
There's something.
John Snyson on again. He knows quite a bit about that sort of stuff.
Let's do it. Invited. All right. Peace, guys. Thanks. Anything else? Give out your webpage and stuff.
TheLibertyAdvisor.com. We're having some updates to it right now, so there'll be some better stuff in the future. But you can also catch us at Anarcho Vegas. Ernie's got promo codes for that, and then Freedom Fest as well. So if you guys are out in Vegas, come by, stop by, say, hey, what's up, and hope to see you guys there.
Yeah, and I think both of us will be speaking next year. I talked to Mark Skousen. I've been invited, if I do, yada, yada, yada. I just and Doug Casey's yeah, it's your crowd. I'm going, that seems too conservative, they're in the system. I don't care. But there's and how I talking to Mark, he says how it happens. He doesn't go around picking people. They send him stuff, please, let me speak. And I go, all right, I can do that. He goes, all right, you can do that. We'll see you next year.
And I'm a guy.
And I know a guy. I know a bunch of guys. So I've known Mark for a long time since he was doing Eris with Doug Casey back in 2001. So, it's not like we don't know each other.
I know him from back when I was an avid Alex Jones listener. He would come on Alex Jones every now and pretty frequently and talk about a lot of the globalist different things going on. And actually, Alex, I did spot check InfoWars a week or two ago and saw an article that actually said, how blockchain tech can help save social media and from censorship. And so Michael, finally, about freaking time that Alex Jones finally sees how this could potentially
he's help. Got I've it's met so Alex weird. Been on his show a couple of times, we know each other, and I could he's
the show has changed.
Yeah, he's
lot.
A victim of his own propaganda. He's kind of he got the feeling that he's a lone wolf out there against a man, and it's his own personal battle of and everybody should support him in the whatever. But then it becomes just another centralized thing. I'm not for that. I just want to be able to do what I want, create a platform where anybody else can do what they want and, do whatever they want. Because I have faith in the wisdom of crowds. And I go, no, eventually, it's called the free market. They will determine. You know what this thing's worth? Whatever, somebody will pay for it. And that's one thing that was explained to me. Matter of fact, it was my Moody's brother-in-law. He goes, of course they do all this surveillance. Let me tell you what they're doing. You have a widget that you can sell for $100 to some people. And a lot of people, probably buy it at $50 and you'll get a bunch more at $20 or whatever. But what do you want to do? You want to sell it for $100. Well, you got to find those guys that'll pay $100 for it.
So they need all this data to find out who'll pay $100 for it. That's what they're doing. That's their motivation.
And it's not about not having anything to hide. It's about your data being weaponized against you. And that's what all this is about. It's probably what Libra is about. Because now if they know that, hey, this guy is going to pay, you know, $1,000 for a trip, you know, on a flight, and this person's only willing to pay, you know, $750, well, they know from your ISP and everything else of who's what profile you're in. So you're logging into one place, you're getting a different price than your neighbor across the street.
Yeah, your Google searches are different.
It's already happening.
Now, it's been like that for years. You go in, I do a search engine on here, and my wife or a different IP, you do, your guy's totally different. It's customized.
You know, I've got another guy for the show who he's probably getting up there in age right now. He was probably the only teacher I had that I liked when I was in school and in college, that is. It's because this guy actually like made it out in the real world and was just teaching just because he wanted something to do and didn't want his brain. But this guy had tons of stories. He studied directly underneath Dr. Gallup, so from all the market research, and he was like really, really high up in the market research world. And he was telling us all this stuff of like, hey, I never got in and got one of those grocery store cards because I know how they track. And this was the guy who was basically helped setting up all this stuff. So sort of like with Steve Jobs, like, you think my kids got an iPad? And so this guy knew, and then he had a lot of stories too where he was in the khaki mafia in over in Vietnam and putting the heroin in the bodies, and he wrote a book on it. And then also talking about stuff with like Lee Harvey Oswald and how he had heard the name Lee Harvey Oswald from his top army generals like a month before all this stuff happened, and so how that was being basically seeded to be the patsy. And this guy had, but he was, this guy's a multimillionaire, super successful, and was basically just probably the only Republican at the college I was at, which means he probably wanted to try to get rid of this guy. But he was rich enough where he didn't care, and so he'd be a great person for the show. Yeah, I'll try to reach out to him.
Bring him on. You and I can both do it. Hell, I'll let you sit here. You can do it.
And he talks. This guy talks, and he's got full of stories. So it would be great.
He can talk more than me.
This guy. Yeah, I don't know.
He can do it. He can do it.
He might be able to.
All right. Thanks, guys. The LibertyAdvisor.com. You know, Tim's really has provided an off-ramp from the tyranny train, you know, for you if you'll take advantage of it. And a lot of people have. And he's getting really busy. And I'm telling you, if you don't do it now, it's going to be a big, giant stampede. And you're just going to have to wait in line or take the package or whatever. I don't know how he's going to spread himself too thin here. But it's getting there.
Yeah,
we need to take advantage of it now.
Yeah, we're hoping to bring on another guy in October. I mean, because it's not like just moving to practice is like super easy for somebody to do. So we're looking at bringing on somebody like a really high qualified guy who's actually part of this community on in a few months. But for right now, let's say your target is, hey, I don't want to sell until Bitcoin's at 30,000. Well, don't wait for it to get to 30,000. You got to get all this stuff set up now, so that way when it does get to 30,000, we're ready to push the trigger. Because because this stuff moves quickly, and all of a sudden, by the time you go to set it up, maybe it goes from 30,000, then you missed a boat, and it's back down to 2 again, and now you've got to wait another year and a half. And so I'm not advocating somebody goes out and sells all of it. I'm like, say, hey, you know, take a certain percentage. You put in, you know, $100 back in, you know, 2010, and now you've got, you know, 20 million. Why don't you take a few of that, get it off the table?
Oh, no, no. Bitcoin's going to go to gabillion and never go down again.
Well, aside from the never go down again part, but I do think Bitcoin's going to go absolutely to the moon, because we're going to be printing trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And that's, and Trump the other day just tweeted out, you know, how we need to be devaluing our dollar, you know, step for step with the Chinese or something. You know, you almost can't even make this stuff up. It's just absolutely crazy. But anyways, yeah, we can keep going on for another 5 hours at this stuff.
Thanks, guys. Peace.
Later.